Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves once again this day before you. You being the all-wise God and all-knowing God, and we petition you once again that your spirit will be with us as we take this journey once again into the word of God. Father, I pray that every soul that is listening, every ear that is tuned into this broadcast, that is seeking truth, shall find it. I pray, Lord, that you would touch him by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that they will hear this word that is given today. I pray that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. But also, most importantly, Lord, that I will rightly divide your word to those that are listening. So, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy son, I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. I am grateful to all of you that are tuned in today. I want to say, before I go any further in the message, for those of you who are first-time listeners, especially listening to us for the first time, I'm here to let you know in advance that not only would I be mentioning scriptures from the Bible, but I will be also mentioning scriptures from two other books that is the Word of God also that goes with the Bible, called The Record of Nephite and The Word of the Lord. Now, if you are listening to me on this page here, normally on this page, well, one of them I know, there's a picture of a little picture of a Bible on the right-hand side. If you have that on the page that you're listening to me on, click on it, a Dropbox will show. Click on episodes, and it shows all the past broadcasts that we did, okay? Or if you don't have the picture of the little Bible to the right, you might have on the page where it has the God's Word to Man logo. I believe you should be able to click on it and go to episodes. And once again, it lists, you can go to all the episodes we did. Now, when you get to that, I want to name a couple past broadcasts that you can listen to, that you can get more information on these books that I'm telling you about, that is also the Word of God that goes with the Bible. Look up Sign of the Restoration and Restitution. And that's a broadcast there. And you can listen to the broadcast called How Did the Record of Nephite Come Forth? And this, too, is dealing with the book called The Record of Nephite. Now, the book called The Word of the Lord, you can listen to the broadcast title, Jesus Communicating to Man Through Angelic Visitation. How Can I Tell If These Messages Are from God? And another one, The End Time Work, Restitution and Restoration, for you to get an understanding more concerning the Word of the Lord book, The Work of the Lord Jesus Christ today. So I thought I would run that by you, all that is perhaps listening to us for the first time. So when you hear me say, I'm coming with a scripture from the Word of the Lord or the Record of Nephite, and you go, what are you talking about? You know, praise be to God. So having said that, we're now going to go into the lesson today. Now, the title of the lesson today is Pestilence in the End Time. Pestilence in the End Time. However, for those of you who last listened to the last broadcast that I did, it was titled Famines in the End Time. And I told you at the end of the broadcast that as I go into this next message, which is the one today, I will continue to read a I wanted to read a report to you to finish off concerning famines in the end time. So that is what I'm going to do. Glory, hallelujah. And I want to read a report to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I ask that you will bear with me for a minute here as I get ready to search it up. And it is very important that we heed the word of God today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's very important that we heed what Jesus was telling us that will happen in these end times. Okay. Now, some people, you know, are disregarding it. Lord have mercy on them. And some people are, you know, hallelujah, is taking heed. And this was an answer to the threefold question that the disciples, hallelujah, had asked, you know, Jesus concerning these last days. When they asked him, said, now when would these things be, you know, that you're telling us about? And what is the sign of thy coming and the end of this age? And Jesus, once again, did not give them October the so-and-so, November the so-and-so, because, you know, let's face it, as human beings, and I'm including, yes, us born-again believers, many times we want numbers. We want a date. So when we say, Jesus, when are you going to do so-and-so? We want Jesus to say January the 3rd. You know, we want that. But what we will come to realize from the word of God, that there are times that the Lord give numbers, but it's not a constant thing. For the most part, to answer questions of a when, sometimes he answers it by telling us about events or certain things that will happen, then giving us numbers. And in this case, especially when you read Matthew chapter 24, that is what Jesus did in answering the threefold question of the disciples. He did not answer with an October the so-and-so, year 2000 and whatever, but he answered that, he gave the answer to the questions by telling them about different events and different things that will happen. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. And so I wanted to, I did the last one concerning, we're talking about the end time. And Jesus told us that there were some things that will happen in the end time as a word of warning to his people to get prepared. Now, once again, I want to say before I go any further, and not trying to be funny or any type of mockery, but if we were to be raptured up at any time, there would be no need of Jesus telling us about these things, now would it? Amen. Now, some believers say, well, he was talking to the Jews. Well, he was talking to, yes, the Jewish disciples. But see, the Jews is not his only disciples. They weren't his only disciples, okay? Disciples meaning followers. And if you are a born-again believer, you are a disciple of Christ, where you're supposed to be. So that means that includes you. Amen. And also, that being the case, the majority of us as believers are preaching about the return of Jesus Christ. So if that part of the message go to the people of God to preach that, how come not this part of the message? Amen. I thought I would say that in that. Now, I want to read to you a little bit on a report and still dealing with the famine. And it is titled United Nations or UN News. And the title of this is New Wave of Famine Could Sweep the Globe, Overwhelming Nations Already Weakened by Years of Conflict, Warn UN Officials. Now, if you listen to the last broadcast I did on famine, one of the things that I read off to you that would contribute to deal with a famine is wars, okay? Hallelujah. Now, I want to read to you a little bit of this article here, okay? Now, it says, This fight is far, far from over, said WFP Executive Director David Beasley, briefing the Security Council during a virtual debate on conflict-induced hunger. Mr. Beasley recalled his April briefing to the 15-member council, where he warned, now get this, that the world was on the verge of a hunger pandemic. Now, I know some of y'all here is going, yeah, right, man, come on. The world, man, I got to understand you talking about certain countries, but the world, no, the world. Because remember, Jesus was talking about something. And when he listed these things, first of all, and we'll see that even more, he was listing that first thing that was going to affect the whole world, okay? Okay, now, he goes on to say, heeding the warning, donors and countries, large and small, took extraordinary measures to save people's lives, spending $17 trillion in fiscal stimulus packages. WFP2 is going all out to reach 138 million people this year, the biggest scale-up in the agency history, he said, noting that 85 million people have been reached so far. However, challenges remain. He goes on to say, we're doing just about all we can to stop the dam from bursting. But without the resources we need, a wave of hunger and famine still threaten to sweep across the globe, said the WFP executive director. Recalling Security Council Resolution 2417 in the year 2018 that called for effective early warning system, Mr. Beasley said, I'm here to sound that alarm. The threat, I want y'all to hear this, the threat of famine is looming yet again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Glory to Bashita. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2021, a make or break year. Acknowledging, hallelujah, that government's reserves are depleting. He said 2021 would be a make or break year, okay? Now, if I'm not mistaken, this article came out in 2018, so he was calling this year we in now, 2021 would be a make or break year. I urge you, do not walk away from our commitment to humanitarian assistance. Do not turn your backs on the world's hunger. He underscored the critical importance of balancing sensible measures to contain COVID-19 with others to keep borders open and trade flows moving. It is vital to guard against unintended consequences that can hit the poorest the hardest. Describing conditions in Africa as a matter of life and death, he cited calculations by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine that for every COVID-19 death prevented, 80 children may die from a lack of routine vaccination. Now, he's on the vaccination thing here, but I wanted to run this by you to show you that there's a warning that had been going out about the famine that could, and notice he said, to sweep the globe. Okay, this is apparently some guy high up in what they call the WFP organization, hallelujah. But he said that, and I read the title of the article for you to look it up. But he says that a famine can sweep the globe. Now, once again, in conjunction with what Christ was talking about in Matthew 24, because when Christ talked about wars, famines, pestilence, and all this, he was talking about there was something that was going to affect the world, not countries. Now, see, this is what the mentality with us in the United States, we have a problem in this kind of mentality. When we talk about famines, only thing we think about is in the other countries. And that's true. It has hit a lot of other countries. We think, and many of us think in this nation, there is no way that a famine could hit in the good USA. Yeah, we think that. That's the same way we think, like we thought about child sex trafficking. We hear about it in other countries. We thought that there is no way, okay, that it can happen here in the United States. I guarantee you, before some of that was revealed, you would have told people that, they said, nah, that must that happened in a mother country. It ain't happened here. But yes, people, it happens here in a good USA. Yeah, in a good USA. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, once again, this Mr. Beasley, I said what he was telling is the truth. Okay? In conjunction with what Jesus was saying in Matthew. Okay? Hallelujah. Because this thing is to affect the whole world. Okay? Amen. Now, like I said, I know that you got some, and perhaps some of you that's listening, thinking, that can't be, you know, not especially not in a good USOA, in a good USA, worldwide. See, what is going to cause these things especially to be more noted is that when the famine hits in places where normally a famine don't normally hit, just like I was telling you about the earthquakes that I did the part on the earthquakes. When Jesus said earthquakes in diverse places or in various places. And what he was getting over to us is that it's going to be earthquakes that's going to hit in places where normally earthquakes not going to hit. That's what's going to really get the overall attention of people. Because once again, when you say earthquakes in California, people go, oh, man, California known for earthquakes. So, you know. But when you say earthquake in maybe say in Illinois or North Dakota or Colorado, man, then you got people going, what? No, man, you got to be wrong. Well, the same thing with famines. So when Jesus mentioned famines, he's talking about something that's going to affect the world, not just affecting a few countries. See, right now you got a few countries that have been affected through years. But see, you finna find, just like I told you guys, and I'm finna read another article concerning the food, because the famine is a scarcity in food. And this article comes even in dealing with America. But as I said before, these famines, we're even heading to a food shortage here in the good USA. Now, I've said that a few times. Some of y'all listening probably put your hand over your ears. You probably say, oh, man, this guy right here, he's crazy. Or not the good USA. You were talking about these other countries like Thailand and all that stuff. We'll believe you. But not the good USA. Just not happening. Well, it is happening, people. It's on the verge. And I'm here to tell you something. The government do know something about it, but they're not telling you. And not going to tell you. Amen. Now, you can call me conspiracy theorist all you want to. Just wait and see. Watch and see. Now, another article, I think this was printed out June the 14th this year, okay? The title of this article is Food Insecurity Worsens Even in America's Breadbasket. Oh, I'm going to read that title again. Just in case some of y'all from America that's listening to this going, say what? Did you say, you said not America. I'm going to read it again. Food insecurity. This is a report by U.S. News. Food insecurity worsens even in America's breadbasket by Mike McCleary, the Bismarck Tribune. Okay. And this is in Bismarck. I guess this is North Dakota. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read a little bit of this article to you. And it says, as the sun set behind an overcast sky in early December, deepening the cold of the late afternoon, Jesse Rennick stood in line with about 30 others before a dot a block food distribution drop at Tatley Place in South Bismarck. Okay. Dressed in jeans and wearing a hoodie under an open flannel shirt, Rennick held onto the cold metal hand of a child-sized red wagon with a gloveless hand. He used the wagon to transport what would amount to three meals for his family. As a part-time worker, Rennick had been coming to the distribution site for several months. In the United States now, this is what he said. He said, it helps supplement our food, said Rennick, who lives with his girlfriend and three-year-old daughter. Then he said, it's hard asking for help. It's a subject that's uncomfortable to talk about. But hunger also is a problem that has grown amid the coronavirus pandemic, the Bismarck Tribune reported. Okay? So the coronavirus, by its hitting, it has really took center stage news. But here he letting you know there's other issues that's happening also, like hunger, here in the United States. Goes on to say, America is the breadbasket of the world, and North Dakota does its part filling up that basket, with the state ranking at the top in the production of 11 food commodities ranging from pinto beans to spring wheat. But even in the land of plenty, many still struggle to keep food in their refrigerators and kitchen cupboards. Good USA, people. The good USA. Now, some of you listening there said, well, that's, you don't know what they've been doing. They might be just being lazy and don't want to work and do a little. Okay, I understand certain things happen with people because of stuff that they could do, bring on themselves. But I want you to understand that this thing was right. I'm here reading here is not signifying overall debt. It's letting you know that there could be hunger in the United States. And if there's capable of hunger here, there's capable of a famine. Now, the article goes on to say, hunger hides in plain sight, said Melissa Sabalik, who is president of Great Plains Food Bank, a not-for-profit organization that distributes millions of pounds of food each year to hunger relief efforts in 99 communities across North Dakota, not Thailand, and into eastern Minnesota, not Taiwan, okay, here in the good United States. A nonprofit organization that distributes millions of pounds of food each year to hunger relief efforts in these places. She goes on to say, no one wants to admit that they're hungry or ask for help, but it's out there. Yeah, in the good old U.S. So is help. Several efforts in Bismarck region look to take a big bite out of the problem of food insecurity. Food insecurity is not having access to enough food to live an active, healthy life. Low income debt, unemployment, disability, homelessness, food price increases, sound familiar? Age and environment all can play a role to food insecurity. Did you hear that? The COVID-19 pandemic has added to the problem. More than 50 million people have experienced food insecurity during the pandemic, up from 35 million in 2019. That means that was an increase of 15 million people. From 2019 to 2021. That's an average of 7.5 million people over a two-year period that has started experiencing food insecurity. See, people, what I'm trying to show you is that this is setting up to show you we're going to a food shortage, okay? And this is according to the Feeding America nonprofit, the nation's largest domestic hunger relief organization, okay? Hallelujah. The Census Bureau reported in March that as many as 9 million children live in a household where they don't eat enough because the parents can't afford it. Ooh. North Dakota isn't immune. An estimated 42,000 adults in the state of North Dakota alone, including 14,000 adults living with children, weren't eating sufficiently late last year because they couldn't afford it. Did you hear that? People, this is serious. Listen, this ain't no game. This is serious. I'm telling you. That's why I've said it on other broadcasts. Listen, if you got some land where you got a garden, you better start growing your garden. You need to start saving your food and water. I'm telling you. Because this is what the Lord has me to warn the people. Because he's telling you a famine is going to hit. Now, some of y'all who wants to get on that ain't the faith real, let me let you know something, fill you in on something a little bit here. Faith obeys what God says. Remember Noah? Noah ain't seen no rain, but the Lord told him I'm going to bring in a flood. And the Lord started telling him how to build an ark. Now, Noah could have said, hey, God, I believe you. I ain't got to build no ark. You're going to take care of me. What would have happened? He would have drowned. So faith obeys God despite the senses not picking up anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what faith does. Amen? Now, it says 1 in 6 people in the Great Plains Food Bank distribution area deals with hunger compared to 1 in 9 nationwide, according to Feeding America. Now, did you hear that? I hope you did. I really, really, really hope you did. It's serious, people. No game play. When Jesus said famines, he was talking about something that affect the world. Once again, he wasn't talking about something that affect certain countries, you know. So once again, you know, we hear famine, we automatically think, oh, yeah, oh, that's Africa, that's Thailand. We some of us can even name the places. And we feel so good that we ain't named America. But guess what, people? We're heading to a food shortage. Now, you, once again, Brother Nate has told you many times on this broadcast, you ain't got to believe me. I'm just a messenger, okay? You really ain't got to accept what I tell you. That's your business, okay? Well, understand this. Whenever the Lord send a messenger to tell the word, and he does it, he or she does it, it's off deal. So that's on you, okay? I love you with the love of God. I hope you hear the word. I hope you go to Christ about it. But if not, that's your decision. And once again, Brother Nate is not going to rack his brain, be up, you know, go to worrying, blood pressure go up and all that, because you got people that don't want to hear and say, oh, you're a loony too. There's something wrong with you. You're crazy. Well, I can't get hung up on that. Like I said, I love you with the love of God, but I can't get hung up on that. That's your decision. Amen. I respect your decision. And we definitely will leave it at that. Amen. Glory be to God. So glory be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's go back to the book of Matthew chapter 24 in your Bibles here. Matthew chapter 24 in your Bibles. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6 and 7 in your Bibles here. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and 7. Amen. And here's what the Word of God has to say. And once again, remember, we're dealing with Jesus was answering, quote, the threefold question of the disciples as they were talking to him privately. You know, you can ask God stuff privately. Did you know that? You know, you can. And he'll answer you. He told us in Matthew, what, Matthew 6, when you go into your secret closet, pray in secret and the Lord will reward you open. So you ain't got to always say everything out to people. God is a balance. Now, there's some prayers we come together, you know, and pray, but then there's some personal prayers. So God don't mind working with his people together as a group and then working with you individually, okay? So Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, Jesus said, for ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Now, remember, let's keep that in mind. Even though we're being warned, Jesus said, I'm warning you, but I don't want you to be troubled. I'm warning you to let you know what's going to happen, but I don't want you to be troubled. I'm warning you so just in case, you know, while you're here around and you begin to start seeing these things happening, you won't start going crazy and start, oh, my God, what will happen? We're going to be destroyed. He said, I'm warning you, okay, what you're going to see, okay, because he said, ye shall. wars and rumors of war. Not might, not possibly, not it could be a chance. He said, ye shall. Okay? Hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. Okay, Jesus said, this got to happen. It must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You'll find out there are some things that got to happen. See, understand this, people, and the Word of God shows us, and we have to, you know, study the Word of God to see what can be done, what can be done. Now, there are some things you can pray about that will stop a particular thing from happening, okay? Amen. Some things that you'll find out even in dreams or visions or intuition, feared by the Holy Ghost, that the Lord will have you to pray, and when you pray, it can prevent a certain thing from happening. However, the Word of God also shows you that there are some things that's going to happen. So for you to be praying that it don't happen, Jesus let you know you might well not even waste your time doing that, because some things have to happen. And he said here that these things, all these things, he said all. He didn't just say these things. He said all. All means all, right? He didn't say some of these things. He said all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So he said all that I'm telling you has to happen. Okay? Because if he just said some of these things that I'm telling you to happen, you could ask Jesus, say, okay, Jesus, what has to happen and what don't? Okay? But when he said all, there's no need of you asking that question. Because all means all. Amen. Then he goes to verse 7. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be. There go the word shall be again. Not might be. Not possibility. But shall be. Which means Jesus telling you, hey, listen, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay? And you can put your money on it, as they say in the world, that when Jesus says something shall happen, it's going to happen. Now, me, Brother Nate can speak that way. It's subject to missing. To a point where I had to come back to you and say, I'm wrong. When Jesus says shall be, you ain't got to worry about Jesus coming back to you saying, hey, I was tired that day. I missed it. Forgive me. No. You ain't got to worry about him doing that. That ain't happening, people. Okay, so. He said, and there shall be famines and, look at our next thing, pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, we talked about earthquakes. We're talking about here now pestilences, okay? Pestilence, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He mentions pestilence. Now, hallelujah. Matthew and Luke mentions pestilences. Now, Mark doesn't mention the word pestilence, and hopefully we'll go over that another time, what Mark actually says. And even though Mark doesn't mention pestilence, they all still go together. Here, Matthew and Luke mentions in their writing that Christ mentions pestilences, okay? And so, let's see, can we deal with defining what pestilence is? And we're going to look at two sources. One, the concordance, and two, the dictionary. Okay, to see, can we get an overall idea of what pestilence is? First of all, let's look at dealing with the concordance. The original Greek word for pestilence, and when it was translated, like I have a King James Version Bible, and so when King James translated, some of you others have other types of Bible, when it was translated, that Greek word was translated to the English word pestilence. So when Greek and Hebrew words were translated to the English language, the translator was saying, this is, our English word is equal to this Greek word or to this Hebrew word. That's what that's about. So the original Greek word that was there before it was translated to pestilence is the word loimos. Loimos means a plague, literally the disease, or figuratively a pest. So Jesus said that there will be plagues, diseases, shall be, okay, shall be. Amen. Shall be. Not might be, but shall be. He said there shall be pestilence. In other words, he said there shall be diseases, there shall be plagues, okay? Now, this is what Jesus said. Now, Webster defined the word pestilence as a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating, especially bubonic plague, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, thus far, we're gathering that when Jesus said there shall be pestilences, from what we have just searched up from the concordance in the Bible, we're coming to understand that he's dealing with diseases and plagues, and okay? And these are diseases and plagues that are contagious, that are infectious, okay? They're going, he's letting you know it shall happen. Amen. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's going to happen, people. Now, I noticed that from the Old to the New Testament, because remember, in defining pestilence from the Greek, loimos word also means a plague. And I noticed from the Old to the New Testament, the word plague and pestilence has been used like interchangeably. They've been used interchangeably. And before I get more into that, I want to read another part of research here, an article. And if you will bear with me, I want to pull it up here, because we're looking at these pestilences that Jesus is talking about. Hallelujah. It's very important that we heed what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ telling us, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Because he's warning us, people, in these last days of what is coming to pass, okay? What's going to happen? Hallelujah. Now, I want to pull this up and read from this article here. Hallelujah. And once again, we're dealing with the pestilence. And once again, as I told you before, and you will find this in the, and I've seen it from the Old to the New Testament. For the most part, pestilence and plagues are used interchangeably. Now, there are some places where there's something called a plague and not called a pestilence. But I wanted to read this other article called Medical Definition of Pestilence. The medical editor is Melissa Conrad Stoffler, MD. Viewed on the 3rd of 29th, 2021. And got here, pestilence. The pestilence referred to the bubonic plague, and it now refers to any epidemic disease that is highly contagious, infectious, virulent, and devastating. Okay? The plague was a highly contagious, infectious, virulent, and devastating disease due to bacteria called Yersinia pestis, which mainly infect rats and other rodents that serve as a prime reservoir for the bacteria. Fleas function as a prime vectors, carrying the bacteria from one species to another. The fleas bite the rodents infected with Y. pestis, and then they bite people and so transmit the disease to them. Okay? And she also got here, transmission of the plague to people can also occur from eating infected animals, such as squirrels, for example, in the southeastern U.S. Once someone has the plague, they can transmit it to another person via aerosol droplets, okay? Now, I read that to say this. I told you that plague and pestilence is used interchangeably, even though I have seen somewhere in the Bible where there were some places where something was called a plague and not called a pestilence, okay? And according to here, their definition also is showing the difference, mainly when you heard the definition I read that she said of a plague and pestilence. Both of them seem to be very similar, except that she said that a plague, you know, being the same like the pestilence, but, you know, it's due to bacteria, which mainly infect rats and other rodents, okay? But yet still, it is just like when you say a pestilence, it's contagious, you know, virulent, you know, disease. So overall, we can say that when Jesus is talking about pestilence here, he's definitely talking about different diseases. Now, you guys, you've been here on this earth. Even before the corona hit, you know there were some diseases out there. You had some. You had one time. You had what? The bird flu. You had the swine flu. Okay. You got your regular flu. Then, you know, AIDS came on the scene at a time, and that started happening. So, you know, this is what Jesus said would happen. Okay. And why is one of the reasons it happened? Because of the condition of the world. The world is not in right standing or in righteousness. Because, once again, how many of y'all that read the Bible who have read anything about heaven, and I'm talking about the third heaven with God at, have you read anything about heaven by anybody being sick or any kind of sickness or disease there? Well, I know you have, okay? Amen. You said, well, God created the earth. He sure did. But not to function the way it functions now in sin. So you see what sin and all, see, sin attracts this stuff, people. That's the other thing we don't, that's the other pill. There's some pills we'll swallow, but that's one of the pills we just won't swallow. You know, think about, you know, with your baby, have you ever gave your baby certain stuff and they swallow it? But there was some other stuff you try to give them, they wouldn't even accept it. But that's how we become many times as people. There's some things that we just won't, some pills we just won't swallow. Some things we just won't accept, okay? And see, one of the things we won't accept is that what brings these things? What is attracting these things to this world that's causing destruction? Well, no doubt sin. Look at the world now. You know, you got people talking about they fight for warmer, global warming, okay? Here's the overall general thing of why the world, the earth is breaking down. S-I-N, sin. Do you think God would make the earth for it just to break down like that? No, something had to happen for it to be breaking down there, and it was sin. Once Adam partook and disobeyed, sin messed up, man. It messed up the whole thing. The whole thing, people. Amen. Well, you say amen to old me, or I don't know, or anyhow, but that's the truth. That's the straight up truth. Sin. And see, some of us as ministers, we don't want to call that out, okay? Because, you know, many of us have made, quote, many sinners out the members in the church. We don't want to call that thing out for as it is. Amen. We want to not say anything. Hallelujah. And some of God's own people, you know, have operated in the same boat. You say, what do you mean? Well, in sin like the sinner man. In sin like the sinner man. You got, quote, people in the church sleeping around. Yeah. Pastors in the pulpit sleeping around. And if they ain't sleeping around with the opposite sex, they sleeping around with the same sex. This thing, because listen, one of the things that Satan especially wanted to infiltrate on this earth was the church. He knew he had the sinner man. He wasn't worried about that. He had the sinner man. He said, but if I can just get this thing to creep in the church, because that's what I want to throw in God's face. Not the people. He's like, I already got them. But the church folks, right? If I can get them to do a little side stuff, and then on top of that, I'm going to get them to influence them to make up their own rules, their own laws. Amen. I want to do that. And he done it. He's been at work, and he done. I mean, and that's what many churches have come up with, their own rules and their own laws. Amen. So these contagious diseases, and once again, look at the past diseases that have risen within the last, what, 8 to 10 years. These are diseases. This ain't something like, oh, you got a little scratch, but it ain't contagious. These diseases that's rising are contagious diseases, which means they can spread. They, you know, cause somebody else to get sick, like you. You know, it ain't nothing like, oh, that don't spread. It won't do nothing. You got a little rash. It's okay. No. It's spreading, people. These diseases are contagious. And see, some of us think, and you notice that even though coronavirus, no doubt in my mind, were purposely released, you know, they got these others coming up, have been coming up. The Delta, the Lambda, the Mu, and now the Omicron virus. The Lord told us these things will happen. He said it. For what? For the warning. Because once again, the Lord is like, I don't want you to be at a point where these things start happening and you wonder what's going on. Oh, me, it's the enemy. Jesus said this thing will happen, but he told us, he said, now, I don't want you to be troubled. He said, it's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to end up doing a part two to this part right here. Amen. Pestilence in the end time. And once again, he speaks about this, and he said, there shall be. Okay? Now, I don't know how much more of a warning do Jesus have to give us, or in the mind of God, he said, hey, what else do I got to tell you? This thing going to happen, people. What else can I say to you? Well, the question is, what else can he say? Because he had been warning us. So when you're hearing these other sicknesses and stuff come up, Lord said, don't be troubled. Lord said, now they got to come up. They got to come to pass. So ain't no need you saying, Lord, don't let none of this happen or come to pass. Well, your prayer need to be, Lord, protect me. Protect me. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you, Lord, for the blessed day that you have blessed us with and enabling us to go into the Word of God. Father, I pray that I've done that which was pleasing in your sight.
and giving your word to those that have been listening. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity such as this that you have given, that glory and honor may come to your name. So you're worthy all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God for all you've been listening. And don't forget, we have another broadcast tonight at 7 o'clock with Brother Eddie Lee. Won't you tune in then? So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.